Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. Our guest is Fred Flight, our Senior Vice President of the Center for Security Policy with responsibility for policies and programs. He is an extraordinary resource to us at the center and to the nation, in fact, drawing upon some, 30 years or so, I think it is, of experience, most of it in the intelligence community at the Central Intelligence Agency. He also worked as the Chief of Staff for Ambassador John Bolton at the State Department and served on the staff of the Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence in the House of Representatives. Fred Flights, welcome back. It's always good to have you with us.
Good to be here, Frank. I'm not that old. I've only been in Washington 29 years.
Well, it's 30. I'm rounding it up. Anyway, you get credit for time served. Listen, you have been writing extraordinarily important pieces in National Review and elsewhere about various aspects of the, well, what I call the war for the free world. Much on all of our minds at the moment, I think, is this question about the possibility that the president, in his determination to bring Syrian refugees and, for that matter, others here, may exacerbate the threats that we're facing, since it's so difficult to vet people whose backgrounds have become impossible to discern. Before we get to the vetting issue, talk a little bit about a piece you have now about who's in this cohort of people he's proposing to bring.
Well, it's interesting, Frank, that as this debate started heating up earlier this year, these reports started appearing in the news media that only 2% of the Syrian refugees are military-aged men, refugees led into the U.S. Half of them are children. Quite a number of them are women and elderly people. So, I mean, what's the problem? That was the implication. I looked at this very carefully. The source of this was an unnamed State Department official. It wasn't a government report or testimony to Congress, so we can't see the data. So my view is we can't hold this person accountable. I don't think that that's true. Let's also consider the fact that about 1,800 Syrian refugees have been admitted to the United States today. The president wants to let in 10,000 next year. We know the composition of the new influx of refugees from Syria is 72% male. So how will that whatever the percentage was in the past, which I don't believe, what's the percentage going to be in the new group? And finally, the administration is claiming, well, it takes 18 to 24 months to process these refugees. Don't worry about it. Frank, Mr. Obama has 14 months left in office. He wants to bring in 10,000 refugees. You can bet the timeline to bringing these guys in is going to be greatly accelerated. So this can happen on his watch, which means this process will be much weaker than already is. I got to tell you, I don't know how we're vetting these guys. They don't have any documentation, and I think they're being coached by ISIS on how to beat the refugee interview process.
Well, Fred, again, you've got experience in the intelligence business, so you have some appreciation of this from your past life. For those of us who don't know beans about this, what is your sense of the degree to which that can result, the lack of background information on these folks, the coaching, the simple tradition of taqiyya, for that matter, in the Islamic, sort of Sharia world, that's going to result in people, particularly if they are fighting age men, as it were, actually assuring that what we get on this Obama Hijra program, jihadists, in fact.
It is Hijra. It is the tradition of Islam to penetrate other areas of the globe through migration. We know this. We know that ISIS has said it will use refugee flows to put its operatives in other countries. We know this. They've said this. I think there's simply no doubt of that. And since these people have no documentation, since it's nothing in U.S. government files and on almost any of them, if we admit these refugees, there will be a certain number of ISIS terrorists. And some of them, maybe they won't be ISIS terrorists, but they'll become ISIS terrorists once they're here because they will be contacted and recruited by ISIS operatives in the United States.
Fred, I've been talking with several of our guests about this problem of the fifth column, as Andy McCarthy calls it. He was describing that specifically with respect to the banlieue of Paris and the like. Do we have a problem along those lines here in your professional judgment, of an infrastructure having been built that when it reaches critical mass, as he puts it, is likely to translate into a similar kind of Islamic supremacism and jihad even in our own country?
Well, I think, as you've discussed with many of your guests, there's something going on in this country called civilization jihad. It is a pre-violent movement to advance the global jihad movement. And we know the groups that are advancing it. One of them is known as CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. CARE makes excuses for Hamas. It won't condemn terrorist attacks, or it does so with caveats and tries to blame Israel. These people are setting the stage for a caliphate being set up in this country.
And Fred, that's such a seemingly outlandish suggestion that I just have to ask you to walk through that. What it seems to me is indisputable is that these folks, whether it's the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, or the Islamic Society of North America, ISNA, or the Muslim Public Affairs Council, MPAC, or any number of others, have been very assiduously working to keep us stupid about what they're doing, about the Muslim Brotherhood, of which they're all outliers, and more to the point, what is in prospect if they are enabled to continue to build capabilities and infrastructure in this country. So this is clearly still very much in what they call the civilization jihad phase, isn't it? But what you're forecasting is it could go much uglier and possibly in the not too distant future.
I think that's right. And if you look at the CARE operatives, they're very clever. They're always objecting to any hint of Islamophobia whenever something happens that involves the global jihad movement. They appear on television, their representatives are clean-cut and well-spoken. I've debated some of them, and I think you have too. And frankly, they're the darlings of the media. The mainstream media has no idea who CARE is. They don't recognize CARE as an unindicted co-conspirator of the largest terrorist financing case in American history.
You know, that's part of it. The other part of it is that I've been very struck by the vehement criticism that this outfit has been expressing about the use of the term jihad and jihadism and jihadists to describe what we're confronting now very clearly in Europe and I think increasingly here. Fred, again, in your experience inside the intelligence business, where you're responsible for sort of ferreting out information and making informed judgments about the enemy, doesn't that suggest that actually we're hitting the mark by describing these things using that term just as the jihadists themselves do?
Well, here's a first for Secure Freedom Radio. I'm going to say something nice about Hillary Clinton. She referred to these guys as jihadists during the last Democratic debate, and CARE is furious because CARE is trying to beat off any reference to the global jihad movement or any terms that could confirm that there is such a movement and that it's a threat to the United States. And Mrs. Clinton moved a few inches in the direction of the truth, and the CARE people are livid and they're trying to walk this back. I mean, it took a lot for Clinton to do this. It took the Paris terror attacks. But I have to give her credit for, let's say, moving a few inches towards the truth.
That is in stark contrast to what she did with respect to Benghazi. And you pointed out, we have only 30 seconds to just speak to this, but Ezra Levant, this marvelous Canadian truth teller, pointed out her lying about Benghazi. Just a quick word on that.
Yeah, I'm not justifying her position on the threat from radical Islam or the global jihad movement. But look, she almost got something right on jihad, and I give her credit.
The broken clock is right twice a day, as they say. Check out, folks, the Ezra Levant piece, though, and Fred Flights' terrific work at National Review Online at the Center for Security Policy and elsewhere. Keep it up, my friend. Always good to have you with us. We'll talk with you again soon. Next up, Ambassador Frances Rooney joins us. We'll talk about what the Vatican is doing about World War III, which the Pope has said we're now in. That and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.